got a good level?
Yes, if I could just get you to say 1, 2, 3 or something.
Whatever you want me to do, how about just normal conversation? How's that?
Excellent, yeah. The following is an interview with Stephen Ryback, Public Affairs Director for Transport Canada. The topic is the proposed third runway for Vancouver International Airport. Broadcast and recording of this interview were done on the 2nd of January, 1990. Vancouver would indeed need a third runway if it wanted to continue to grow, shall we say.
Well, what we are doing at Transport Canada is proposing that a parallel runway go in on Sea Island approximately 1 mile north of the present main runway 0826. And the reason for that is primarily technical, if you will. And that reason is that the airport has currently reached capacity and indeed is even operating at over capacity with our two intersecting runways. As part of the large number of studies that we're having done on the social and environmental costs and benefits of this project, we had a consulting firm in Toronto that, I guess they're based in Ottawa, I'm sorry, that is has done a number of economic benefit cost studies on airports and airport projects in North America. And what this firm, Hickling, did was use a technique that is known as risk analysis process. That means they got experts, interested people, people representing municipalities, interest groups, the aviation industry, and the academic world, in to take a look at the economic assumptions and some of the underpinnings that they used in coming up with a benefit-cost model. Their model, which contains something like 700 variables and assumptions, their model indicated that with a parallel runway at Vancouver International Airport of just under 10,000 feet in length, the airlines, passengers, and the economy of the lower mainland, indeed the economy of all of BC, could benefit by as much as $6 billion over the next 30 years. At the same time, they tried to put a dollar figure on the potential cost that you might see over that same 30-year period. And assuming that the runway would cost about $70 to $80 million, the consultants tried to quantify the social, if you will, cost of additional noise and frequency of aircraft coming and going at Vancouver, and they wound up with a potential cost in the order of just under $35 million. So the overall cost, according to the Economist, was just over $100 million, while the potential benefits are in the order of about $6 billion.
I want to get back to your argument a few moments ago about the capacity of the Vancouver airport being at its maximum. Could there not be some research done into perhaps rediverting smaller aircraft to other airports?
Well, there seems to be a popular myth in existence that the airport has or caters to a lot of private aircraft, and nothing is further from the truth. Last year, we handled nearly 290,000 landings and takeoffs on our runways at Vancouver. Less than 20,000 of those are classified or can be classified as private aircraft. And that's, 10% of all activity? So about 90% of activity at Vancouver International Airport, more than 90%, is activity that is commercial in one way, shape, or form. They pay landing fees. They are involved in the transportation of goods and people from abroad, from Europe, from Asia, from the continental North America into Vancouver and out again. Plus, the airport serves the Canadian domestic market and indeed Vancouver International Airport. For a lot of the small communities in British Columbia, is their window on the world.
Now, is there any work being done then in the future for developing alternative airports, or is all of the focus just on the Vancouver International Airport?
Well, as aviation does grow, you may recall that about 2 or 3 years ago, the federal government made a decision to get out of the economic regulation of the aviation industry. And through economic regulatory reform is largely letting the marketplace serve the demand. What may happen in the future is that the demand may change, or the marketplace may change, and the other airports in the Lower Mainland may be able to cater to that particular type of market. For example, Boundary Bay may have a role in the future for catering to a certain type of traffic. Perhaps it might be something in the order of corporate aviation. Pitt Meadows will probably remain basically a training airport, an aviation training airport. Abbotsford, it's situated way up the valley. It has potential for helping ease the congestion problem in the Lower Mainland after the turn of the century. So that yes, indeed, other airports are important now, and they will continue to be important in the future. But the technical studies that we have done indicate to us that by far the best solution for coping with the increasing number of aircraft and people who want to come to or pass through Vancouver on business or pleasure is to build a parallel runway at Vancouver International Airport. If using certain scenarios that The Economist used, within less than 6 months, the runway would pay for itself in terms of economic benefits to airlines, passengers, and the greater Vancouver area.
Later on this program, we're going to be speaking to an environmental group, and they're opposed to the expansion of the airport for environmental concerns. In the reports that you've been receiving from these groups, has there been any focus on the environmental impact of the third runway expansion?
Oh, there certainly has been. You are probably aware that that a federal environmental assessment and review panel has been struck to review our particular project proposal, as an independent body, and then make recommendations as to whether or not the runway proposal should go ahead, and what, if any, mitigation and compensation measures should be put in place if they're going to be required. That particular four-member panel will take a very close look at not only the proponents' proposals, but what other people have to say about the proposal, or even indeed some of the alternatives that they may come up with. One of the things that we are doing right now is preparing an initial environmental impact statement. Once we're finished doing that impact statement, which takes a look at not only the social but also the potential environmental impacts of a parallel runway, operational scenarios, type of aircraft, etc., that initial environmental impact statement will then be given to the IRP panel. The panel is planning to convene a series of what they call scoping workshops. That's where they will focus on a particular portion of the environmental impact statement in a public forum with interested parties, other levels of government, interest groups, individuals, you name it, anybody who has a stake one way or another in the future of Vancouver International Airport. Through these scoping workshops, the FIRO panel will then be able to give us very clear and precise guidelines as to what we should have in our final environmental impact statement. The scoping workshops, I don't know how many in number they're going to be. I haven't seen the schedule yet, but they should be completed by the end of March. Transport Canada would then take the guidelines for doing the final environmental impact statement, do the work that's necessary, and then present the final statement to the panel for another public review sometime in the fall. After that public review, during which the panel, if I can go by past experience with a panel, normally hires their own experts to very critically look at the material that's being presented before it. After that review is completed, they will then make recommendations to the Minister of the Environment and Minister of Transport as to whether or not the proposal should go ahead.
You made an interesting point, actually, before we started the interview, and maybe you could reiterate it, and that is regarding the pollution given out by an aircraft compared to that of the vehicles at the airport. Could you relate
well,
that?
Coincidentally, the numbers are approximately the same. The work that we have done to date and that we have for everybody to see during our series of community open houses, we held two before Christmas, and there are another six or eight planned in the latter part of January and early February in communities surrounding the airport. We show that from the information obtained from the Canadian Wildlife Service, part of Environment Canada, that in the Sturgeon Bank area immediately adjacent to Vancouver International Airport, you have approximately 1.5% of the wildfowl in the lower mainland in the Fraser Delta area. So it's percentage-wise, it's not a very high number. It is still, although, a very important number. And at the same time, using GVRD studies on air pollution, the material that we've gotten back from the GVRD indicates that aircraft using Vancouver International Airport contribute about 1.5% of the total air pollution in the GVRD. As a matter of fact, the airport gets more pollution from motor vehicle traffic cutting across part of Sea Island and from communities around Sea Island, then it contributes through aircraft causing some pollution.
But the air pollution consideration will be still a factor.
It has to be considered. You know, you have to consider things in their total balance, and that right now the pollution caused by aircraft is well within the federal standards and guidelines for air pollution, for air quality, I should say. And so as long as the, I guess you have to then sit down and measure those particular precise known amounts and you know, try to balance those off. You see, that will, in essence, be the job of the IRP panel. They will get all of the factual information that is possible to get on Vancouver International Airport, and our future predictions on how the airport will operate, the types of traffic that will arrive, the types of aircraft that will be arriving in the future. And they will have to weigh the cost and the benefits that will accrue to Vancouver through a parallel runway being built. They then make the recommendations. Transport Canada doesn't.
So, in summary then, to conclude the interview, then maybe you could give us a timeline as to, obviously, there are these community forums that will take place at the end of January, as I mentioned. Let's say that this all completes in, say, a year. What would then be the date that Vancouver would finally see the construction of a third runway if it indeed goes ahead?
Well, here's the timeline that we're looking at. We are currently engaged in the process of trying to make the community aware of the proposal that we have put out right now, the reasons for it, the potential costs and benefits as we see them at this particular time. We will then be going to the FIRO panel with our draft environmental impact statement. Towards the end of March, they will hold their scoping workshops to give us some firm, up-to-date, state-of-the-art, if you will, guidelines to do a final environmental impact statement. We'll do that between March and September. In October or November, we would hope the panel would be ready, and we would be ready to present a final environmental impact statement. There will then be a series of public meetings that the panel, public review meetings that the panel will convene. We anticipate that about this time next year, the panel will be making or will have made recommendations to the two cabinet ministers on whether or not the runway should go ahead, and what indeed, what types of compensation or mitigation measures should be attached to the approval of the project. If the recommendation is to go ahead, we would see construction starting probably sometime in 1991 or maybe sometime in late 1991 with a parallel runway ready for use in 1994, maybe a little bit later. I can't really predict construction dates or things like that right now. So the earliest that we would see a parallel runway in full operation in Vancouver would probably be 1995 or 1996. And those dates happen to coincide with the requirement for large commercial passenger aircraft to comply with new noise certification standards that are going to bring about a very, very major change in the amount of noise that aircraft make.
The main reason why for our concern is that Sturgeon Banks and the entire Fraser Delta is suffering from two causes. One is a loss of habitat. Over 80% of the delta has been developed in the last 100 years, and this has dramatically hurt waterfowl populations, which come from all over the globe and rest and feed and use this area for shelter and as a stopover along the Pacific Flyway. The second one is that the Fraser Delta and the Fraser River is suffering from pollution, and something has to be done about that before we have a problem like they do now in the Great Lakes, where animals are just saturated with dioxins and different types of toxins which have been introduced by industry from households and a whole host of areas. Now, what we should be asking with the proposed third runway and the expansion of the airport is this project sustainable? That's how we have to start looking at everything that we do, because the future of the planet depends on that. So if we ask that question of the airport, that raises other questions, such as, should we be spending $150 million of money that could be used to find alternatives to fossil fuels, which are an unsustainable resource? Should we be spending so much money on increasing air traffic over an estuary which is already hurting from habitat loss and from pollution? And this is just going to increase more. And we already see what's happening to Howe Sound and the whole Strait of Georgia. It's becoming a toxic cocktail. And that means a serious business for the local residents here, because they eat the fish and they have to live in the environment which they pollute.
So how can you have sustainable development? Or what is your definition of sustainable?
Well, sustainable development is development which respects the integrity of the environment. Now, if that destroys the environment, it's destroying ourselves. So a lot of the main things are habitat loss, especially of global habitats like the Fraser Delta, and as well pollution of that habitat.
One of the reasons people are asking for the runway is because there has been an increased need for more runway space, because there are more flights into Vancouver. People are pushing Vancouver as an international center, and it's simply a response to those demands. And how is it possible to avoid that?
Well, the globe is becoming smaller, and Vancouver is becoming an international city. And I say good on Vancouver, but there are alternatives to increasing the use of air traffic. There's the communications through satellites, through computers, and these are a lot cleaner because we're not burning a whole bunch of fossil fuels all the time and burning up a fuel resource which isn't going to be there in the next century. We also have to realize that the increased air traffic at the Vancouver International Airport is not the big jumbo jets and all the large aircraft that everybody thinks of an airport. It's all the smaller aircraft, which is what they're trying to accommodate there. So that's why they have to build that third runway, to accommodate all the smaller aircraft. Now, they can be accommodated elsewhere. You know, a few suggestions have been Boundary Bay or Abbotsford, which are both good locations, and that would help to spread out the transportation system in the lower mainland. And of course, that's a good way to go, because then we're looking regionally at the environment, regionally sustainable, which is very important right now, because inaction, of course, is going to be at the local level, is going to be at the detriment at the global level.
Now, you say in your press release, transportation and air travel consume vast quantities of the Earth's resources at an unsustainable and globally damaging rate. So it seems that you're not only opposed to just the third runway, that's just the tip of the iceberg, but to air travel in general. It's almost as if you're advocating a change in lifestyle.
Change in lifestyle is needed. We have to find alternative fuel sources. Our lives and the very life of this planet depends on that. And I think that it's very sad to see a federal government, the government of Canada, who's supposed to be a leader in the global arena for environment, spending $150 million, which could be put to very good use, on a runway which who knows what will end, it'll end up being in 50 or 100 years when we don't have any more fuel. You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to wait until we have, you know, spend all the fuel that we can on the planet and then look for alternatives, or are we going to start introducing those now and using the profits of those resources on finding alternatives before it's too late, before we end up in chaos, while we have the time to rationally go about a change? And that, as you said, is going to mean a change in lifestyle, less use of fossil fuels, and more local responsibility, you know, especially in everyone's daily life.
I think, well, just to play devil's advocate, I think one of the reasons that they're willing to invest $150 million in the airport, the third runway, is because they expect, according to one of their reports, that they could have $3.3 billion in benefits. What argument would you present to people that the economic benefits aren't as important as future long-term environmental goals?
I think it's a bit of a catchphrase, but I think that really it sums it up, and everybody is feeling this way, that it's time to save the planet, not money. And we have to really take hold of that, because at the local level, no matter how many millions or billions of dollars are going to come in, we're not going to have an economy if we don't have a healthy environment, because those two are integrally linked. And without one, there isn't another. You know, and that's how the local businessmen have to really look at this, and the transportation industry and communications and the federal government and our economic leaders, they have to start thinking about what is the importance, you know, of the environment. It is an investment. It's an investment in the future. It's an investment in our families. It's an investment in ourselves, because that means we're making ourselves healthy, which means we're going to give ourselves a future. At the way we're going, it's all the little things, such as this one airport proposal and a whole bunch of other things that are happening at the Fraser Delta level and the global level, which has to be changed, and it has to happen now. 1990s is the turning point, and it's going to be the one that determines what our future is going to be. Are we going to have a polluted planet that everything begins to die on, or are we going to take responsibility, change our lifestyle? It's going to hurt. But it's going to have to be done.
Where would you rather see the $150 million go as opposed to the runway?
I'd like to see the $150 million budget for the runway. And, of course, there's going to be a lot more spent on the whole airport expansion. It should be spent on invested, I would say, into human, technical, and financial resources for research and development of environmentally sound and economically viable alternatives. That's where I think our investment is going to be, because without that technology, without that environmental technology and the investment in it, we're not going to have a future on this planet, and that's what it comes down to.
What is the Fraser for Life Society presently working on in terms of the runway?
Right now, we are trying to promote the dialogue, look at this in a sustainable perspective, and try to raise questions, because it's something new for a lot of people, consider it a buzzword. People are misusing it, saying sustained development. Now, we can't sustain development on this planet at the present rate we're doing it. So you can't, don't believe people who say sustained development. We have to start looking at things from a sustainable level and just finding out what that means, because there's lots of input that's got to be there. And I think that will come out during the environmental assessment. People should look at this proposal and think about it on a sustainable level, and then write in and give their comments on what they feel about this proposal and what they can be done, because there's a lot to be done, and no one person's going to be able to do it themselves.
Have you had any dialogue with airport officials as yet?
We've had a bit of dialogue with airport officials. We're going to wait for the environmental assessment and the reports to come in, just so that we can understand what position that they're coming from, and understand more what is, what it is that they're coming from, right? Because they obviously feel that it's economically a good choice for Vancouver. And I say, well, economically it's a bad choice because it's damaging the environment at the local level. And, of course, it's the regional area which adds to, the greenhouse and acidification and everything else. So that's what I think people should start looking at it, especially with the environmental assessment coming up for the airport. And if anybody wants to find out who they can write to and how to get involved, they're more than welcome to give us a call. I've got the address of the people to contact, and they're welcoming public input. And what I'm saying is the priority has to be looking at this project sustainably, because we don't do that enough. So it's going to have to taking on one project, such as the airport proposal, sustainable perspective. Can write to the Vancouver International Airport Environmental Assessment, care of Environment Canada, Conservation and Protection, 100 Park Royal South, West Vancouver. So that's Park Royal South, West Vancouver, BC, V71A2. Okay, and if you can't get that, well, they can of course call Fraser for Life Communications. At